Hi, my name is Rico Dozier, and in today's podcast, we would like to discuss the Monte Carlo method or the Monte Carlo simulation. First, let's talk about a little history. Monte Carlo simulation was named after the city in Monaco, which was known for its casinos, where gaining a chance involved repetitive events with known probabilities. Although there were a number of isolated and undeveloped applications of the Monte Carlo simulation principles at earlier dates, modern applications of Monte Carlo methods date from the 1940s during the work on the atomic bomb. Mathematician Stanislaw Ulam is credited with recognizing how computers could make Monte Carlo simulation of complex systems feasible. Yes, this is the same mathematician that worked on the Manhattan Project. In general terms, the Monte Carlo method can be used to describe any technique that approximates solutions to quantitative problems through statistical sampling. As used here, the Monte Carlo simulation is more specifically used to describe a method of translating uncertainties in model inputs into uncertainties in model outputs. Hence, it is a type of simulation that explicitly and quantitatively represent uncertainties. Monte Carlo simulation relies on the process of explicitly representing uncertainties by specifying inputs as probability distributions. If the inputs describing the system are uncertain, the prediction of future performance is necessarily uncertain. That is, the results of any analysis based on inputs represented by the probability distribution is itself a probability distribution. In order to compute the probability distribution of predicted performance, it is necessary to translate the input uncertainties into uncertainties in the results. A variety of methods exist for propagating uncertainties. Monte Carlo simulation is perhaps the most common technique for propagating the uncertainty in the various aspects of a system to the predicted performance. In Monte Carlo simulation, the entire system is simulated a large number, for example, 1,000. Each simulation is equally likely referred to as a realization of the system. For each realization, all the uncertain parameters are sampled. The system is then simulated through time such that the performance of the system can be computed. This is a large number of separate and independent results, each representing a possible future for the system. The results of the independent system realization are assembled into probability distribution of possible outcomes. As a result, the outputs are not single values, but probability distributions. A particular example of the Monte Carlo simulation consider calculating the probability of a particular sum of the throw of two dice. In this particular case, there are 36 combinations of dice rolls. Based on this, you can manually compute the probability of a particular outcome. For example, there are six different ways that a dice could sum to equal 7. Hence, the probability of rolling 7 is equal to 6 divided by 36 equals 0.167. Instead of computing the probability in this way, however, we could instead throw a dice 100 times and record how many times each outcome occurs if the dice totaled 7 18 times. We would conclude that the probability of rolling 7 is approximately 0.18 or 18%. Obviously, the more times you roll the dice, the less approximate our results would be. Better than rolling dice 100 times, we can easily use a computer to simulate the rolling of the dice 1,000 times or 10,000 times or 100,000 times. Because we know the probability of a particular outcome from one die is 6. 1 in 6. This is a pretty simple outcome. The output of 10,000 realization is a little different. Now, using the Monte Carlo simulation, unless for, say, a hospital where a lot of medical records and a lot of patients are seen on a repeated basis, we could try to figure out how many times a patient with the same birth date and the same last name, or the same last name and the same last four of a social security number, how many times we would come across the patient that would end up with the same probabilities and that could help us eliminate how many times we could predict that we may issue or come across a possible HIPAA violation by picking up the wrong file for the wrong patient due to the fact that they had the same first name, same last four of the social, same birth date, same last name, same first name, same birth date, just using different combinations of how we would determine we are issuing the correct records or the correct information to the correct parties. We could use those different scenarios to see how many times, based off of our how many files we have in our record system, that we could run across making a mistake by doing so. And by doing so, we could try to mitigate those mistakes and come up with a better way of handling the records, or a way where the probability is much lower than possible. We could go to the last five digits of the Social Security number and the last name. Just various ways that to eliminate the risk of issuing records to the wrong people or information from someone's record based off of the personal information, which in return could end up being a HIPAA violation. The results and the options of using the Monte Carlo simulation are endless. You just have to put a little bit of imaginative skills to it, come up with a plan, find out what you want to base your findings off, and go from there. And then from there, you can see what your percentages are, how you can lower them and mitigate the risk that isn't come. I hope this was insightful. I hope it was informative. And until next time, this is Rayco Dozier with the podcast for the Monte Carlo simulation. I will see you, or you will hear from me, on the next podcast. Have a good night.